I went home a couple of weeks ago to visit my parents and my younger brother and sister. They are 16 and 17. I'm going to talk about my little brother. He's 17. He came home from school with two things. He goes to Malvern Prep, and he brought home a report card from there, and I checked it out, of course. I'm kind of nosy. And he showed me this, and the boy got straight A's. I was really very impressed on many subjects that, you know, I had no idea really what they were, and I'm sure I couldn't even approach trying to study them myself, or maybe I could, I don't know. This was the first thing he brought home. The second thing he brought home was a paycheck. He'd gotten his first paycheck. It was a very exciting time, and, you know, my father wanted to come downstairs and give him positive reinforcement. Yeah, the boy's working. It's great, right? So he came down and he said, "Chris, got your first paycheck, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "Feels pretty good, doesn't it?" And Chris said, "Yeah, it does." My dad said, "Well, how big was it?" Chris thought for a minute, and he went, "Well, it was about this big." My dad shook his head. He said, "No, Chris, what was the paycheck for?" And he thought again, and he said, "Well, Dad, it was for the hours that I worked last week." My dad put his head in his hands. He said, "Christopher, how much was your paycheck for?" He said, "Oh, okay." And he tells him how much it was for. Now, these two things happening very closely, one after the other, really got me thinking. And I'm sure you've encountered similar events as high school coaches. How is it possible that a guy can bring home a report card and you have straight A's, right? Wow, what a smart guy. But he can't answer that question. It's a very simple question, at least I thought it was. And, of course, it's going to be a joke that goes down in the history of my family. And he doesn't know I'm sharing it with you, but I can't wait to tell him. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. What happens in a person's life with your brain is that your brain goes through two major growth spurts. The first one occurs right when you're born, when you go from being in the mama's belly to a baby. You come out and you're surrounded by so many new stimuli that it's kind of overwhelming, but your brain at that time is really developing a lot. The second growth spurt happens when a person is about 10 or 11 years old, right before they hit puberty. And what happens during that time is the frontal lobe grows. It expands a lot. Well, you know, a good amount anyway. And now I'd like to introduce you to my lovely assistant. This is Parker. Parker McIntosh, everyone. Yay, Parker! Okay, can you sit, please? Okay, this is Parker. All right, now, this up here, generally speaking, this is his brain inside his skull here. Up here is the parietal lobe, occipital lobe, and around here is the temporal lobe. Got it? All right, forget about those because all we're talking about is the frontal lobe. That's up here. And that's the part that really expands during that time. Now, Parker, can you stand up? Excellent. How tall are you? 6'3" and a half? Almost 6'4". And how old are you?
19.
Okay, 6'3" and a half, 19. Really tall, right? Big, strong man. Put your arms out. Huge wingspan. Awesome, right? He's 19. Is he done developing his muscles? Is he going to fill out a lot more? We're hoping, because this guy's a rower. Woo! All right. Great, that's what we're looking for. Thank you. That's all. It was great. All right. So that, essentially, what's going on with Parker and with many freshmen and a lot of your high schoolers is the same thing that's going on with your brain. The difference is your brain is not a muscle, okay? But it's, you know, very comparable because it expanded, it is not developed. At that time, after it grows, the brain is full of all these connections and neurons, and in fact, there are too many of them. So to develop, you kind of exercise the brain. Every choice, every decision, everything that you do is going to strengthen certain connections, and the rest are going to fall away, the ones that you don't use. It's kind of the use it or lose it philosophy. Okay, I'm going to talk about the function of the frontal lobe. Oh, no, wait, let's do that now. Okay, the function of the frontal lobe is kind of abstract things, okay? It controls attention, it controls organization, anticipation of consequences, planning. I thought this might happen. Hold up. Okay, so what does that mean on a day-to-day basis with a high schooler? It means, let's say you have a kid who, in the summertime, he wakes up and he goes downstairs, gets something to eat, and he goes outside and he plays soccer. Okay, well, your brain, again, developed. You have all these neurons up there. It starts using the neurons that make him do that or that, you know, he has to do. It starts exercising the hand-eye coordination connections and the maybe cardiovascular and the muscular things. And the rest of the other ones might start to kind of fade away. Now, if you have a kid who wakes up in the middle of the summer and he goes downstairs and he starts playing video games, well, the connections that are using, you know, the thumb controls and maybe reaction time, those things are going to get strengthened, right? Now, we talked again about the frontal lobe and the attention and the decision-making and that sort of thing. And so basically, those connections aren't really quite formed yet. Well, what does this mean for you on a day-to-day basis as a high school coach? This means if, you know, Johnny comes to practice and you tell him, all right, this is what we're going to do today. This is the erg practice that we're going to do. Go ahead, get on the erg. You know, you turn your back for 2 seconds. You gave him the instructions. You turn your back for 2 seconds. You turn around, and there he is over there talking to some chick, you know, in the corner. And by the way, their hormones are going wild, too, at this time. Isn't that great? You thought he heard you. Well, maybe he was listening. Maybe he wasn't paying attention. Chances are he didn't really have the ability to pay attention because, again, that connection hadn't been formed or really exercised. So what do? Well, to help him out and to help those connections, you know, being made, you go over, go get on the arc. You know, you can yell, you know, yell at him. Reinforce the connection. And he's, you know, uh-oh, coach just yelled at me. Better make that connection between, you know, I don't want to make him yell at me. Pay attention, do what he said. Okay. So then he goes over there. Another thing that is, you know, it may affect is their planning. You have a guy who comes in, he's late to practice again. And you say, why were you late? Well, I couldn't find my shoes. Well, all right, I can't find my shoes a lot, but in his case, or my keys, or many things. But anyway, in his case, you say that isn't a very good excuse. You know, how are you gonna stop doing this? This is happening all the time. Well, he probably didn't have the ability to plan ahead or be organized enough when he came home from school. Tossed his shoes in a closet, didn't pay any attention to it, and didn't have the planning skills to think ahead and think, all right, my sneakers, I'm going to need these for practice. I'll maybe keep them on or put them by the door so I can pick them up as I walk out. He didn't have that ability. So, again, you want to reinforce that. Maybe suggest doing that, you know, putting them by the door or keeping them on or something to help him reinforce those connections. Another thing, and this is very, very important, is the anticipation of consequences because you're all in a very unique position. And the parents go along with it. You know, this is something that hopefully parents are doing as well. But teenagers don't have the ability to anticipate consequences. So when you tell him or her that if you're late again, you're not going to be in the boat this weekend. I've been telling you this over and over and over again. And this is something that happens, you know. If you go on this trip with your family, that's fine, that's your choice, but you're not going to be in the boat this weekend. And that's, you know, these are decisions that you make as a coach based on your best judgment. He hears you, hopefully. And, you know, he has over here in his brain, he has, all right, this is the action he's talking about, being late, going on this trip. The consequence he's telling me about is you're not going to be in the boat. All right, so he hears both of these things, but the connection between those two, it's not being made. So how do you help him there? Well, you do it. He's late again. Make sure you don't let him in the boat if that's what you told him, because that's how he's going to connect those two things, action to consequence. All right, and this is something that's, it's not going to happen right away. You know, he's not, after that happens one time, he's not going to get it. And it's never going to happen again. It takes repetition to build those connections and strengthen them. All right, that's a very... you're in that environment most of the time. In that environment, most of the time, you have the ability to create very safe consequences. Not desirable. They're not supposed to be desirable. But when you say you're not in the boat, that means he's sitting on land. Some unsafe ways to learn these consequences are you know, mom tells you a million times, if you better stop drinking, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Kid hears that, you know, drinking, trouble, or even just drinking, like jail, getting really hurt. He's not connecting those things. He goes out, starts drinking and gets hurt. So you have the opportunity to exercise these two things, to connect the action-consequence thing together, whereas, you know, in another situation, it might not be as safe. Okay, I had a question.
What happens if it doesn't get developed in that stretch of time after 12, 13, 14, in this adolescent stretch, if these pathways aren't developed?
Right,
if
right.
If these consequences aren't held consistently I'm just thinking, what happens if you let these kids go without doing this?
Right, right. Well, two things. One is that the brain, it's a really good question, I probably should touch on that. But anyway, the brain doesn't, this period of time, you're still developing, people are still developing until early to mid-20s. So it's a really big span of time. Now, but you can't, after you pass that window, it's not teaching, what do they say, teaching an old dog new tricks. What this is, this period of time is probably just the most significant, the most, where they're most impressionable. After that, yeah, absolutely. You know, you can still, when you're 50 years old, connect. Those connections can still be made. It's going to take a lot more repetition, probably, to get those there. But that is very important. It's brain plasticity. It's the ability for the brain to change, regardless, not absolutely regardless, but just throughout a lifetime, really. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay, great. That's pretty good. All right. So just to wrap up, I have three major points. One is to be patient. They're annoying. I love high school kids. Kind of have to. But they're great. They're fun. They can be really annoying, and they can be really challenging to deal with. Just remember, they're going through this major growth period. And just their brain is just one aspect of it. There's so many changes going on at that period of their life. Two is that every interaction that you have with them, try to make it a positive interaction. And I don't mean sunshiny and warm and, butterflies. I don't mean that, but something that's going to help them develop in a positive way. So, and three is, don't make any idle threats. That's not going to help them make that connection, and it's not going to build any respect, and it's not going to make them take you seriously. That'll help you a lot. Even making an example out of someone. Why is he out of the boat? I told him he's going to be late. Well, I'm not going to do that. Learn by example, kind of. So that's all I've got for now. Does anyone have any other questions? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Second time, you put consequences in place, mm-hmm. and they continue doing it despite the consequences. Do you just up the consequences until they stop?
No. Maybe consider, and this is like behavior modification. These are like behavioral studies, but consider the consequence that you've given them. Maybe not the severity, but the specific consequence. If you tell a kid he's not going to be in the boat, and he's someone who may not have been in the boat anyway, it's not, may not be a very good consequence. It's a kid who hates to run. Give him that.
But what if on the run, he
walks? Well, there's only so much you can do. I know, I understand. I know there are high schoolers, they can be really high schoolers. Teenagers, again, into your 20s, we're looking at freshmen. He's really difficult. I'm just kidding, Parker's great. But they can be very difficult. There's really only so much that you can do to control. You've got, some coaches have a lot of kids to deal with. So I guess what I'm talking about is the ideal. You do your best to Does that, it's kind of a vague answer, I know. I don't have.